Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Your life is a story that is being told. And whether you hear God's voice audibly or not, every activity, everything that is happening in your life, God is at the backstage, orchestrating most of it. And that you may never hear a voice saying, "My son, go right." But you will see an unknown man saying, "Go forward." And that is the voice of God. Because some of us, we just live on cloud nine. You want to see a vision. Look around you. Look around you. There's counsel, wisdom. Somebody says something and it just sticks in your heart. God is talking to you. Not until an angel. Can you imagine that right from the beginning of his visions that led him up to the point where he was asked by his father to go on a journey to look for his brothers, the brothers that the father knows do not like him. That even the Lord kept his intention private, even to the father of Joseph, who was a patriarch. This is a family that generationally are given to visions. Yet the Lord concealed his plan. There was a particular person that a woman that used to bless Elisha so much, and then the woman's child died. And Elisha became confused. What did he say? He said, "The Lord, he did for me. He did for me." God decided to conceal the matter. Because it is the glory of God to what? Conceal a matter. But it is the glory of kings to what? It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the honor. So if you don't have the heart of a seeker, there are things about your life that will be kept from you, not because God wanted it, but because you chose to remain the way you are. Now, if the Lord were to say to you, "I want to teach you something," the chances are that you will not say, "Teach me, Lord." You will go and get a paper and a biro. But you see, this book knowledge doesn't always pan out. So God will rather pass you through that experience. And one of the ways you will know that it is God is that when you start binding it, it will increase. That pain will increase. You will rebuke it. You will say, "Pastor Benga said, if you pray once, it doesn't, then look for a prayer partner." Look, the Bible says a threefold cord cannot be easily broken. And after you do that, and it's still not there, you now say, "Pastor, I've used your three keys. The three keys you gave me, I've used it. Do you have any other key?" I say, "Okay, drink anointing oil." If you drink anointing oil, that thing is not ingestible. It's not you should, for those of, because some of you are specialists in drinking chemical compound. You are playing with your life. I know people drank it and excreted satanic poison, but please, there are other ways. This is the 21st century. There are other ways to do it. You know those are our parents who drink all these things in their old churches. They eat real food. Apple. They cook with firewood. They eat real food. They don't eat Indomie and all these things. So you are not, your body is not strong. This thing you are about to ingest. Listen, the Lord was doing something in the life of Joseph, because Joseph was the son of inheritance. And there are different types of firstborn. We are firstborn by birth. The first child. We have the first male child, the firstborn by gender in terms of the male child that people usually confuse to be the son of inheritance. It's not. Most of the times. It could be the second to last or last. We have the firstborn by birth. We have the firstborn by wealth. The first one among you to be influential and has sustained it over time. The one that may not be the first child, but when your dad has a problem, he calls that one. So as I'm talking, be knowing your number. We have the firstborn by inheritance. That's Joseph. As far as God is concerned, that's his own firstborn. And the scripture tells us that Joseph was the one born to him in his old age. And Joseph was the one prepared by Satan to destroy him because he started pampering the boy. I try to observe my children, you know. I realized that actually certain gifts can be genetically transferred because I observed them. Sometimes when I see my last boy, the way he's jumping from one chair to the other, and I'm always scared. Sometimes I'm tempted to, there's a way you can hit a child, it will just sit down. But every time I move in that direction, I remember that was me. Now, most of you don't know that I used to be athletic, like acrobatic. Okay, so I could stand at the top of a wall and somersault, but flipped on my, like twice in the air. Okay, but my body is not that. But I, you know, life was fun then. We didn't have distractions, so we went into sports. I was really into sports. I used to, you know, there's something we used to call Bahanu. Do you know what I'm talking about? When you backflip, you now somersault backwards without the support of your hand. We call it Bahanu in Hausa language. Do you know that in spite of all the distractions I had, the emotional abuse I faced in the house of my parents with Eunice? The pain, all the promises my dad made to me that he never fulfilled, that he made to me personally. And when he passed, all I remembered was all those things he said to me. I told him, I said I wanted a keyboard. He told me I will get you one. I told him I wanted in those days of Nintendo and Sega, I told him I said I wanted a Nintendo game. He promised me. Today, except if he's going to come back from the grave and say, that I hear you are a pastor now, so this is your keyboard. It's gone. So I had a lot of pain, rejection, because I was a Christian already when he passed. Do you know that in spite of all everything that was happening at the background in my life that seemed as though God was not there, God had built up every activity to hit a particular point. And when I got to that point, I woke up one morning and I just said, nobody preached to me, I just said, I'm a sinner. There was no message. I'm a sinner. I need to find God. I can't get him in this current place. That was the church or cult that we were attending. So I said, I need to go out and look for him. And I started going out. If anybody seemed to have anything about God, I would go to the person and sit down. But I was just a young boy. Nobody would have seen a young boy and be thinking that he felt he had the burden of sin. Why would a child so young wake up one morning with the burden of sin and needing a savior? I didn't know it was the work of God at the background, pushing me in a particular direction, in spite of everything Eunice had taught me. You see, the way Satan works, he will put you in a spot. Then put you on autopilot. You will not be the one making the other mistakes. So he will put the burden of guilt on you that was you. This was you. This was you. This was you. But the devil is a liar. He planted the seed first. It was the devil that helped me appreciate that if I wanted to be happy in life, I must marry a woman way older than I was. There's nothing wrong with marrying a woman older than you, if that's your own destiny. Eh? But Eunice was way older. She was my first definition of what I thought it was love, but it was an abuse. You are not your experience. I've gone into banking notes. I'm saying regularly. I don't like going to banking notes because, you know, that has been my life for 12 years. So every time I go there, I feel uncomfortable. I've been on the other side. Now I'm here. I don't like it. So just give me your mobile app and internet banking. Let me get out of here. I've gone into the banking hall to sign documents. And the manager was asking me, so can I have your number? Madam, how old are you? Say, I'm 45. 48. I'm a small boy. The markings of Eunice everywhere. You are not your experience. If you don't remind yourself that, you will go out and think it is my destiny. Listen, the fact that the brothers of Joseph rejected him did not mean that that was meant to be his fate. He was given to the world as a gift. Oh my God. How you see yourself matters, not only how God sees you. Everything that is going on in your life now, we build up to a point. And when the time is right, God will bring certain people into your space. And it will look as though they had been waiting there like that unknown man, that faceless man, waiting for Joseph. Why are you wondering about? He said, I'm looking for my brothers. Go that way. There was nothing in the heart of that young man that resisted that beckoning. Just the way when you come face to face with certain people, as though the Lord brought them at that time. Sometimes the Lord brings them for 3 months just to be praying with you. Sometimes the Lord brings some people around there, they don't know why, but they begin to open you to some certain skills. But you don't know, you think it's another waste of time. Joseph was blessed with prophetic dreams. But Joseph needed other things that God could not give him as a gift. He needed to go through them. If you are dealing with a lot of pain, if you are dealing with a lot of shame, if you are dealing a lot with your self-perception, if you are dealing with some medical issues that just won't go away, peradventure, the Lord has prepared you for the healing of nations. Peradventure. Do you know how I felt when I sat in front of that doctor at OAU Teaching Hospital and he told me, what you have is a viral infection, there's no cure. You know, thinking about it now, with the little I know, if I knew what I knew now, I won't get married. Because like, you just want to put a woman into it. You are going to die anytime. The doctor told, now, if you tell me I went to, there's something we call, hospital abeli. It means all those quack clinics that you have around. The chemist, it's not a pharmacist, the chemist there, started that shop because he didn't have anything to do. So everything is paracetamol, Panadol Extra, aspirin, something for the stomach. Sometimes he combines it and gives to you. Then when he's confused, he will never ask you to go for a test. Oh. He will be using you to learn. My mechanic came one day, and the guy is very good on the job, but he's not smart. But he's very good. So I like him because he comes to my house to fix my car. So he came that day, and I said to him, there's this particular noise I've been, getting. So he told me to make the sound. I said, croup, 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 croup. So he now said, Oga, open the bonnet. He said, start and make I see. I started it. I did like it. Now, because of my experience working in the bank, if a client comes to, or a customer comes into the bank and says, ah, where's the customer service manager? And I come out. And he says, I made a deposit in this branch 8 a.m. This is 12. You guys don't have a downtime. The person said he has not gotten the cash. At the top of my head, without thinking, I can think of 3-4 reasons why that may be happening. Number one, you've posted into the wrong account. Number two, the network provider that should provide the SMS to you is down. Number three is that the person may not have gone to the ATM to check his balance. Number four is that the account you even paid into may be frozen or placed on a post-no-debit, which means you will not be able to withdraw. Number five is that account might have been flagged for fraudulent activities. There are at least a number of reasons that we can pick up. The one that is mostly on my side is if my subordinate staff posts into a wrong account. So if I'm asking you as my mechanic that, what do you think could be wrong with this car? And then I see you shaking your head like this. The sign, what you are telling me is that I need to start thinking along with you. So I brought out my iPad. I went on YouTube. I went to... gear noise or something. I just typed the model of the car. Typed, and the white man just, showed on the screen. He said, hi, if you use the car... Toyota under 2010, this particular noise is common, but you need to go check. So I was just watching him doing like this while I sat in the car, and I watched a 5 minutes video, and then I came out and I said, Monday,
say yes.
I said, have you what are you touching? I said, no, go there, leave there. I said, have you thought that this thing could be coming for? He said, yeah. Yes, I said, I was shocked. The way he acted, he was so surprised. He said, yes, yes, yes. He said, Oga, hold on. He started loosening the tire. I said, oh. Already he had told me that we may need to buy something for about 40,000. It's dangerous to be ignorant. The person who will pay the price will be you, not the person who gave you the advice. Everything happening in the life of Joseph was God working at the background. And one of the ways you will know the Lord is working at the background is that at certain bus stops, he will bring men. Because in Psalm 110, let's read Psalm 110, 1 to 3. Psalm 110, 1 to 3. You see, God does not work with clock and calendars. God's calendar is measured in men. Please, you need to note what I just said. God does not work with wristwatches, with clocks and calendar. His calendars are measured in men. Look at this. The Lord said unto my Lord, this is an instruction. Sit thou at my right hand until I make your enemies. They are not the father's enemies. They are the enemies of his son. He said, until I make your enemies your footstool. Next verse. For the Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of where? What is the rod declaring? Rule thou in the midst of your enemies. Next verse. For your people shall be what? Your people shall be what? Every time God is set to move in your space, you will see the rise of willing men. People who may not even know why they are there. But all of a sudden, they are, come, give me the form. Let me sign. You need a referee. Let me sign. These were the same people who told you it was not possible. But the Lord will raise them out of nowhere. They will begin to assist you. And you are praying. God is not speaking. But you can see men rising. Oh my, are you here? You can see men rising. You are not coercing anybody. You are not forcing anybody. But you see men rising. And say, no, come tomorrow. I don't know. No, don't worry, come. Get a number tomorrow. Bring that document. People are just standing for you like, It could not have been anything you did. Not you licking anybody's boot. Not you trying to suck up to people. Listen to me. The movements of destiny are very quiet. If you are not sensitive, you will judge God unfaithful. This journey, this journey took this man from that point in Shechem to his brother's hands, and he heard them discussing, should we kill him? Should we kill him? Psalm 55. Psalm 55, 12. See, let me tell you. When the Lord blesses you with a certain level of understanding, your response to gratitude and praise will be different. When you realize you could have been dead and nobody would even know you came around. Do you have the scripture? Psalm 55, 12. Shall I read it from here? I can't. Okay. Look at this scripture. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me, that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. Next verse. But it was you, a man my equal, my guide, my acquaintance, my friend. The person I sat down in the same table and I ate. It was you who did it. That is why it's so painful. If it was my enemy, I would have sucked it up, because you are clearly an enemy. This story answers to Joseph standing in the midst of 10 brothers, and they are trying to discuss, should we kill him? No. Ah, no, let's not kill him. The moment that advice or that idea came out, they had already killed him. It was Judah that said, let's not stain our hands with blood. And when Jacob was dying, he spoke to that. When he said to Judah, you are he whom your brethren shall praise, because you prevented your brothers from shedding blood. The Lord Jesus was destined to come through the lineage of Judah. If Judah had joined that enterprise, it would have moved. There are things that we would do. Nobody will talk about the consequence. Nobody will raise an eyelid and say, oh, why did you do it? It is the generations coming that will pay. And they will pay in a very terrible way, because the movements of destiny are quiet. Joseph is a classical example of the dealings of God upon a man's life. And God chooses not to talk for 13 years. And is walking that man through a particular process, through a lot of unanswered questions, pain. And every time he wants to give up, God will just tell him, trust me. Just trust me. Do you know how painful it is to be having visions and revelations for every other person except yourself? And the few you saw about yourself took you to prison. That brother was exposed to divine things. He knew he was gifted in dreams and revelations, but he was not blessed with a good set of brothers. And he saw them discussing. They thought that they could actually have killed him. They thought that you even considered it. They thought. And Joseph stood in their midst never said a word. Like Jesus, a lamb, led to the slaughter, and he didn't say a word. Then they threw him into the pit when they could not kill him. He stood in the pit. He never said a word. Just stood there. He didn't try to run. If it was an enemy that did this, but Joseph, his coat was taken from him there and stained with blood to confuse his father. And yet Joseph kept quiet. He never shed a tear. There are some of you that are holding up tears because despite the fact that you are doing so well, you know there are gaps that when people ask you about this, you don't have any answer. Even though generally people think you are doing well, but you have your quiet fears. There's nobody God will select or pick that will not have his personal fears. I was asking my wife last week, I said, am I too ambitious? She said, why? Because I woke up sometime last week. I just said, I want to take an MSc from, what's the name of that university in the UK? East London. East London, yeah. I wanted to take an MSc in data analytics. So my wife, so she didn't say anything. And I said, I've started again. And she said, yes. She said, and I said, is this a sign of boredom? She said, maybe. I said, there's scholarship. So I noticed she wasn't talking, so I left her. Then I woke up the next day. I said, that's my business analysis program. I'm not reading the exam. So I didn't bother telling her. I just, because I now started realizing that before I realize it, in the next 10 years, I might even go back and study law. Then my wife's like, you are studying all these things, but you don't plan to work with them. I said, maybe I should slow down. But I now realize it could actually be a problem. It is hard to just be accumulating certificates and then put them on the wall. That guy, if anybody had asked him that day, as he was put in that pit, that this is the will of God. If a prophet had walked past Joseph that morning and said, Himasahita lubiara kasia, for thus hear the Lord, this is my will for you. And that in the years to come, you will remember this day. Say, oh God, thank God, this pain is too much. You know what? We'll discuss, but first get me out of here. I need to go home. But like Pastor David shared with us, his destiny would never have been fulfilled if he stayed at home. So the only way to arrange a quick transport was to sell him as a slave. They sold him and they bound him. He did not cry. There was nothing on the external about this man's life. Having gone to school, you've studied, you've done your bit, and it just seems that everything is not adding up. You have a lot of questions, very few answers. Nobody is saying nothing. Even prophets that are reputed to see anything, that can see anything, even before you say, my name is Tunde, they will tell you, Tunde Odeyemi, they will call your name. But when they prayed for you, there was nothing. And they took this guy, led him to the house of Potiphar, and everything was still God's plan. Don't abort your programming. The moment you notice that you binded the devil and it was not the devil, calm down. Because God will not put you in a position where he can't trust you. And Joseph was not tested. He had a gift, but he was not tested. We don't know if he will steal. Joseph likes light-skinned women. So we need to test it. Huh? To be sure. So we are going to use Potiphar's wife. Everybody was serving the will of God. I'm not sure personally, if I was Joseph, I would not have reacted. Because that journey started at the age of 17 and culminated at 30. How many years? 13 painful years of slavery, deceit, betrayal, prison, pain, lied against. And he still did not cry. There was a day he cried, but it was not that day. Your life is a story that is being told. Your life may be like the life of Job that the Lord is using to brag, and you may not know. Right now, you may not know that God is bragging about you. That's why you're having all this problem. Somebody say, don't brag about me. Just give me what you want to give me. Say, God, please, please, please. I'm not asking for 100 crown. Just say, I enter heaven. God will bring men across your path. And they will usually happen on days that you did not expect. How many of you were in the prophetic school, but this is not a regular church. Prophetic school. You are visitors. While you were at the prophetic school, did something resonate with you? All God probably needed was just to for them to have a Zoom link and connect so that we could meet. It doesn't matter how, but I want you to meet. That's all. That's all. Like that brother that his wife took him and the baby died in the womb. You know? For 2 weeks. And they were going to move her in to evacuate the baby. And they were at the hospital and the brother called me and said they have to take the baby out. But I joined my faith with them before they had that baby. I didn't pray. I just picked it in my spirit and I said, is your baby dead? They said, no. I said, leave that hospital now. Now, that's not sound medical advice. Don't tell anybody to leave the hospital. After I said that word, I said it, dropped the call before I realized, what did you tell this? You didn't even pray. I just told them, do you have a dead baby? Leave that place now. Change your doctor. The Lord said, change your doctor. Change the hospital. And they moved away from the hospital, went to another hospital. 2 weeks after, the baby was kicking. 2 weeks again later, the baby had recovered the 4 weeks that it had lost. November last year, they had the baby. See, let me tell you, when God wants to do something major, he will not allow you to interfere with it. He will just bring a man. Because if he gives you the permission to interfere, you will not choose that man. You will not choose that man. You will probably be selecting. It's too dark. It's too... But you see, when I gave my life to Christ, my mentors, Brother Lawrence, Brother Bidemi, Brother Humphrey, they told me, they say you are showing signs of somebody that will be anointed. They told me. And I was excited. I was excited. But I never saw the pain coming. Some things are just better forgotten. If you have ever been surrounded in the corner, in a place where there's a lot of religious violence and all, if your vehicle, your car, and you are in the car with your dad, if you have ever been surrounded, that traumatizing effect. I sat in the car with my dad, and we were surrounded. And they were screaming, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. My dad stretched his hand like this. Jesus. And they froze. And he drove. Ah! So what? My dad, I used to tell him, Dad, you need to give your life to Christ. You are an evangelist, but you are not born again. My dad was the first person to teach me what it meant to be a Christian. So he was very upset when I became a Christian and I started saying, that your own. Then my dad told me, before I married your mom, I've read that book cover to cover. I said, it's not about reading Bible. My dad, who is this boy? Huh? This is the last boy of the earth. Even my mom supported me. As I'm looking at her, she is looking gentle now. She wasn't gentle then. Because I thought I found the light. Daddy, that your own is still a bit. Let me show you. It's only faith in Jesus Christ. You won't add anything. My dad was upset. But you see, in that limited knowledge he had, when we were surrounded, he knew something. The name of Jesus. Whether I had to walk or not, let me use it. Jesus. And I saw those people freeze. You know, sometimes I recollect some childhood memories that I've forgotten. And I'm like, but do you know that it's very possible that God did not answer that prayer because of my dad? I lost my dad when he was 50. So if around then it was just a few years difference, it would not have mattered much. But there was a boy in that car. Huh? So, sometimes you don't even know why God is answering your prayer. It's not that thing you are shouting, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. God is looking at something else in the future that for which he must preserve you. My parents fought my faith in Christ. They felt I was fanatic. In those days, we used to have all these stickers, Jehovah Shaddai, Jehovah Mekadish came, Jehovah Elohim. My baby, what is this? Because we didn't have, I'm the only one going to Pentecostal church. So I used to be very artist. Some of you don't know I used to be an artist. Because they will say it somewhere now. You say it's a lie. It's not your pastor. I used to be artistic. So I would creatively draw out those designs with pencil. Jehovah Mekadish came. I'll paste it on my father's room door. Then as he's coming in, I will now, you see, Jehovah Elohim. I will paste it inside. After you come in, you see this one. So one day my mom came into the room. So, this must be Benga. Go and call Benga for me. What is this? I say, it's Mekadishke. What? This thing is getting out of hand. So out of this, I say, it's Elohim. This one called, I say, Rafa. Some of you remember those days of stickers. I just painted my with pen. We use gum. Basically, you are defacing the wall. I say, do you know this one? I say, Mommy, this one is the Lord my healer. This boy is mad. Nobody knew. They didn't grow up knowing anything like Jehovah, Rafa, Jehovah. For them, like, calm down. You still have your life ahead of you. I didn't know why something was pushing me. Keep running. From that young age, I was praying for 5 minutes, 1 hour. I didn't know why. I would trek from... who knows Bauchi State here? I would trek from the Command Day Secondary School. I would trek 2 hours as if I'm going towards Yobe, Old Maiduguri Road, into the University Estate. my transport fare, I will buy Ireke. There's something we call Ireke. Eh? Wait. I know I'm on. I was a student of command secondary, so I wear that green. 2 hours, and God will so permit it that nobody will stop to say, ah, young boy, where are you going? And on that road, shabalada. I'll be eating reke. I'm praying for 2 hours. When I get home, nobody will ask me, where are you coming? Where are you coming from? You went to school, you are back. Glory be to God. At least when I come back, I won't be so tired, I won't go and play ball. Looking back now, and looking at the script from another location, that was not me. God must have put a hunger. I was searching for something. I didn't know what it was exactly, but I knew it was in God. So all I did was look at Bro Bidemi. Look at Bro Anthony. Brother Anthony was the one who used to pray and be doing his leg like this, be doing his leg like this. He had bow leg. I didn't know there was anything like bow leg. I thought it was the way the Holy Spirit was moving him. So I started doing the same thing. Until one day I realized my leg was becoming bent. I said, ah, gilele. I just followed. He was a stammerer. I thought it was the, you know, I just thought that the way the spirit was moving Brantoni was different from the spirit of moving Brother Humphrey. Was doing, I like this indeed. You know, the Holy Spirit is moving them in a very different way. And when you are praying, I want this kind of spirit. I never, looking back, I'm like, this, that's crazy, man. Why would I want to pray? But I looked at it like, can the spirit rest upon me the way it's resting upon these guys? Until I preached, until I got to the principal's office. And I said, if you don't give your life to Christ, you will be born in hell. And she started crying. Then they sent for my father that they are going to expel this boy. You make an elderly person cry. Broad daylight. It was a man who passed. No, I know him. Benga, I know his father is a gentleman. In those days of telephone, they just died in my dad's office at the university. Mr. Shafir, please come. Your son. When my dad got there, saw me. This story, my mom reminded me last time I traveled. He's like, do you remember this incident that you made your principal cry? I said, it's the conviction. I said, forget conviction. You made an old woman cry. They just put the fire in me, Brother Humphrey. Say, go. Don't let anything stop you. I meet where I went. Till I found myself at Maryland. If the Lord had ever said to me, voice by voice, every phase, every stage, I would not have trusted the journey. I would not have trusted the process. That is how I know. In spite of everything the devil is trying to do, everything will play out for your good. God is not going to ask Satan not to play his card. But all things. All things. All things. All things. All things. All things. Including what Satan is doing. Including his attempt over your life. All things are working together for the good of them that love God. When those two men had their dreams in the prison, what did Joseph say to them? He said to them in Genesis chapter 40 and verse 8. He said, Genesis 48, and they said to him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? What you are looking for is in God's hands. This answer is in God's hands. It's in God's hands. The same thing when Joseph was brought before Pharaoh. In Genesis chapter 41. Verse 14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. And they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself. And changed his raiment. And came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have dreamt a dream. And there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard said of thee that thou can understand the dream to interpret it. Verse 16. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. It is not in me. What you are looking for is not me. It's a quest for God. It's a quest for God. It's a quest for God. What you think you are searching for, that agitation, there's something in you calling out to God. You think it's about the dream. No. Say, but God will give Pharaoh the answer of peace. Later, when his brothers came in, and this is a very significant part of this message. If you can get that scripture, I don't want to open my Bible because of time. Where he told his brothers, I am Joseph. That is just somewhere around, maybe 45 or so. I'm not. You see, this guy had been bottling up. And there are some of you here, you've been bottling up a lot. People don't know why you are so quiet. You've seen the promising people, the promising ones in your families rise and fall. My father was coming back from the U.S. And please, I'm not telling this story, because my history is very personal to me. But I've been made bare. I've been exposed. I have no shame again. When my dad was coming back from the U.S., at the airport, he was attacked. And he was attacked, and he passed out, and he saw his spirit leave his body. My dad was exactly 40 years old. And, he saw three angels walk up to him and say, you are dead, follow us. And he refused, and he resisted. They say, he's gone, see your body here. You have to come with us. And he resisted. And he told them, he said, my wife is young. My last child is still a baby. I cannot go now. And that conversation went back and forth. Then he said at some point, they conversed among themselves. And then they faced him. He said, we'll give you 10 more years. After 10 years, you are coming back. I'm so grateful that my father got that opportunity, because that was when he met with the Lord. He would have gone to hell. Mercy is a very weird concept, because you don't really know why God is making that decision. He may not even explain it. Why he chooses to save a Paul who has shed the blood of many Christians? Why? And he will send him as an apostle to the nations. Why he would take a young person with just HND or ND and raise him up and ask those with PhD to bend to him? I don't know if you explain it. Or a man whose secondary school certificate is still being questioned, and he said, be president for 8 years. How do you explain that? All the parameters for competence, zero. My dad woke up in his body, never told anybody that experience, but went to his friends. In those days, we had more meaningful relationships. So he went to my sister's school, Federal Government Girls College. I was talking to his friend who was like the VP or somebody. And my sister was on her way to, because she heard that my dad was around. At least she would collect something. So when she was coming, she opened the door and heard my father telling his friend that they told me I have 10 more years. And then she grabbed my father and said, Daddy, what is this? What are you saying? And my dad rebuked her and said, you must not repeat this thing to your mom. She heard everything behind the doors. It was when my father passed that she remembered. She counted exactly 10 years. They gave him extra 6 months, but it was 10 years. My dad never made 51. The beckonings of destiny, they are very quiet. If you are a very noisy person, you will miss out on a lot of things. You may find yourself 3 years, 4 years, as though you are in a desert. All of a sudden, it's like everybody is seeking for your wisdom. You've graduated from that stage. You have moved into another phase. You now notice the kind of people who are talking to you. They are different. And you are not doing anything to curry their favor. Every time God signifies a new season, watch out for the men that will be showing up. That's how you know. Listen. Did you get that scripture? Yeah. Put it up. You see, I told you, I said throughout his sojourn, this man remained a very quiet person. He never spoke against his brothers. Because there are some people who must destroy the family to prove their point. That's their own calling. But this guy decided to be quiet. They flogged him. They did so many things. Lied against him. He never tried to justify himself. Went to the king's prison. Started a ministry in the prison. Was blessing people. Yet never spoke for himself. But one day he said to that guy, butler, be that guy, he said, please, if you get there, remember me. Because sometimes most of us don't know that if you are too quiet, your destiny can just walk past you quietly. This is not the time to be singing, pass me not to gentle say. The Savior has gone. He's at my 12. You need to be sensitive. Sometimes you need to ask your brother, can you pray for me? Can you pray for me? There was a day I was so sick. I was in my house a few years ago. I was so sick. I didn't know what to do. And then I asked my son, I said, come. So do you know Jesus can use you to work miracles? Yes, okay, you are going to pray for your dad now. And my son laid hands on me. Say, in Jesus' name, Father, heal my daddy. That was the most childish prayer. That was the last day I used those drugs. Childlike, just. I had the faith, but I couldn't help myself. Said, please, sir, if you get there, remember me. It's not a lack of confidence. You are beckoning that peradventure, you are the one God will use. Don't be too high up there. We are gifted separately. We are anointed differently. Don't make your pastor your boyfriend. We are different. If I need to get into UBA and they are giving me stress, I will call Taiwo. If I needed a few things, research, I will call my... There are people here I can call. That's okay, pastor, don't worry. We'll bring it to you. But if I sit in my house and say they are supposed to know, who is supposed to know? Everybody is busy. This guy, at one point, realized if he continued like this, nothing will happen. Say, please, sir, if you get there, remember me. And the master forgot. Somebody gave you a prophetic word that took you out of prison, and you forgot. Huh? Prophets are suffering. Do you know how many times sometimes you may have a need and you're about to say, how do we do it? And the Lord said, if you talk, am I the one that sent you? Who sent you to buy a suit? When I asked you to go, did I say you must wear a suit? Now you are in debt. You are looking for money to pay for suit. Go and look for how you pay your money. Don't tell anybody anything. So I'm just there. We are wearing suit, but we've not fully paid. Most times, because of the things we have gone through, many of us forget that we have been bottling up. Even after God promoted him, if you listen to the words, if you read the words of Joseph, he said, God has made me a father to Pharaoh. That's a very profound statement. God has made me a father. Say, nobody in this land stands up without my permission. But when he stood face to face with his brothers, they sold him. They pushed him. They wanted to kill him. They did so many. They sold him into slavery. Watched him being led away. And yet he was standing here and they couldn't recognize him. Ah, they will not recognize you. Amen. You know that if I wanted to pay them back now, there will be no jury, there will be no court. They will just disappear forever. You see, if you say God is the one leading you, and he has not led you to the point where there is no iota of vengeance left in you, the work is not complete. Joseph, who probably must have been thinking, if I get, let me make it in life first. Let me make it in life. I will bring down that family house, I will build a new one. Only for you to get there. Say something. And they are saying, it's all about you. Ah. So I don't become pastor. No energy to strive. The strife is over. The guy fought his way through. The only thing he had was his gift and his prophecy. He had nothing. He had no name. He had no family. He was dead, even to his own father. But when he stood there with his brothers, he said, I am Joseph. And he burst into tears. I was the one you gave up to die. I was the one you told had mental problems. I was the one you told could not graduate, even if they sent him to school. I was the one you looked down. I was the one you wrote off. I was the one you told my dad, don't waste money sending this one to school. I am Joseph. That Joseph. That phrase, I am, is significant to God. I am Joseph. So, do you see that if you take your journey and instead of listening for the loud voices, you are listening for those quiet moments where God is actually the one leading you, but you are not hearing voices. Even when it seems you do not understand, but you now know in your heart that God will not leave my soul to rot in hell. Neither shall he suffer his holy one to seek corruption. For in his presence, there is the fullness of joy. If I remain in his presence, I will experience the fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures evermore. I came to speak to that Joseph in you this morning. Listen to me. God is in that plan. God is in your life. God is in your space. Sometimes all he needs to do is make you meet somebody. While you are second guessing yourself, the person tells you, wow, you are saying something. Say, eh. So somebody can tell me that I'm saying something. Have you ever done a job for somebody and gave them a bill and they didn't price it? Then you started thinking, so I'm what this one? You almost give yourself away facially, but you try to compose yourself. Can you pay 200,000? So, okay. Send me the proposal. Let's just take. But you are the same person that they told, resign. You are not made for this job. You are not good enough for this job. I had an accident and I had to be wearing sandals for several months. And my regional manager told me, he said, I've always known you are not fit for this work. He saw the cast and the injury on my legs. And he spoke down in a regional meeting. He didn't see the day coming that he would need my help. But today, if I pick my phone now, I can call some of the managers where our accounts are. Say, please, I need this, I need this. Say, we are bringing it to your house. They will come. But the regional manager told me then, listen, the only way to be free from negative words is to forgive. If you forgive, then you can pull out those arrows without pain. If you try to crucify yourself, you cannot survive the experience. Jesus said, if any man will follow me, let him take his cross. But you will not be the one. Because even if you are to take a big hammer now, and you put your two legs together and nailed it with a very big nail, and then you nail the other hand. What about this hand? This is where Satan will come through. Because this one is still breathing. So the question of throwing yourself to the mercy of God is not only when you have committed a sin. It is when you find yourself at those bus stops where you really don't know what to do. When the doctor gives you a bad report. And please, don't confuse mercy for grace. I told my friend who wanted to get married to a woman, I said, the Lord is not in this marriage. Release her, let her go. He said, I prayed. I know what God said to me. I said, God has changed his mind. Then he called me one day. He said, I know I should listen to you, but I still want to see if the relationship can work. I said, I wish you well, but I will not come for your wedding. I don't go for weddings where God does not attend, so I will not be around. I called him later. I said, the Lord said if you go ahead, you will not have a child. Let her go now. But you see, familiarity can breed contempt. Because we used to eat beans on campus together around 12 midnight. We cook beans. Sometimes the kerosene will finish there. We'll just mix it together. Eat like that. If my wife commonizes the fact that because we are in the same house and she sees my weakness, I cannot be a blessing to her. I may be praying for other people, but if I pray for her, it will not work. The most dangerous person to live with is a pastor. Because when you get there, you will see his weakness. So we must look at each other with the eyes of Jesus. Because you may come to us and see me playing PS5. They say, is that the prophet? And I'll tell you, hold on. It's a seasonal. We are quarter final now. You may be disappointed, but it's your own disappointment. It's not for me. Maybe in the same house me for 1 week, you will not know when I'm praying. You will not hear my voice. Because now that you are around, I will make sure you don't even hear my voice. Everything is working for your good. When the doctor tells you that it's not possible, take that report. Say, Lord, I fall to your mercy. Lord, override. I fall to your mercy. There are times when faith may fail, but mercy can superintend. The doctor doctor told me straight, he said, you have high kidney count of a bilirubin, then you have this one, you have that one, you have hepatitis, this, you have that. I'm still here. If a doctor at OAU tells you you are sick, you are sick. I took myself to the hospital. Do you know when I've been going to the hospital as a child? Secretly. Because I was very sickly. At some point, I thought I had HIV. Even when I wasn't committing sin, I just said, this thing must be HIV. Satan was speaking to me. I took myself to a lab, test me. Then I started sweating for like 1 hour before the result came out. You took your, if I stayed in my house, I would be okay. I took myself for paid them. I wasn't any salary. I paid them to do HIV. When they gave me the paper in an envelope, to open it became a problem again. My eyes became blurry. Sorry, just 10 words there. Some of you are suffering from mental affliction. The devil has been, you will not marry, you will not have children, you will be sacked, you will not be, you will go back to your village. None of it has happened. But you've played that scene over and over and over, that it is already your reality, even though you are not experiencing it physically. I did, do you know how many times I did bilirubin, hepatitis, all those tests? The doctors looked at me in the face and told me I was sick. That there's no cure. They told me. They didn't even ask me, where's your mother? They told me. But when I was admitted and I saw my life moving away from me, then the Lord came to me and said, I told you that your covenant with death has been cancelled. The day God spoke that word to me, I went to preach it. I thought it was the message for that morning service. It was a personal word for me. I converted it to a message. That your covenant with death has been cancelled. I was preaching, people are shouting amen. As I was preaching, affliction struck me there. They carried me on the back, out on the altar, straight out of town to the hospital, straight, because I was dying. Yet, as I was dying there, do you know that the anointing was flowing in my hands like electricity? I will come close to people, if I touch them, they will go under the power of God. But yet, the vessel was dying. I was touching them, and when I finished, I couldn't move. They carried me. People thought it was the anointing that was flowing in me. They didn't know the young man was going. And I looked at the church building, which my money was part of the blocks that we contributed. And I knew I would never see that building again. I knew I was dying. Everything going on in your life, I want you to enter into rest today, knowing that there is nothing going on now that is behind God. It took God to build the character in Joseph to prepare him to be the ruler of Egypt, because God will not allow him to go there and mess up. Don't worry. Your own will not be up to 13 years. But stay on course. Stay on course. Watch out for those men, like the ones Pastor David spoke about, that will come at certain points and they will be used by the Lord to guide you. Sometimes some of them may not even know why they are helping you, but just leave them. You may see cigar or Igbo banner, you may see it on their lips. Don't worry, that's not why you are here. You focus on why God brought them. Not all of them will carry Bible. Their job may just be to point you, go there, that's all. And that instruction will bring you 5 years of reward. I don't care how, look, you, the banner is in your body, it's not in my own body. If you choose to smoke weed, glory be to God. Sir, where is the, is it left or right? I say left. So we are going. I'm off. As long as you don't make it a doctrine, that when I was at Iboshire, I saw a man that told me he was smoking Igbo. So henceforth, anybody that wants to find his destiny, look for a man that is smoking Igbo. As long as you don't make it your message. And today, I can begin to talk to you about people that the Lord has brought in my life. Some of them, the Lord brought them into my space. When they came, they were weak. Some of them came to this church. Some of them are in this church now. Are still in this church. When they came, they were weak. They were trusting God for direction. They didn't really know where to go. They were just trusting God. And today, I've looked at them over a period of 5 years. And they have become men of stature. They have become women of stature. Did you ever think, Busayo, when you came to Lagos, and you just came only with your faith, that one day somebody will pay a flight ticket for you to go and walk abroad? But it happened. And there are some of you like that. When I began to prophesy and I told you that people will pay your bills to go abroad, you didn't believe, but it happened. So why not judge him faithful? If God did all those things for you and you didn't even believe him, Abba, why are you now thinking God is slow? Trust him. Trust him. Nothing is more beautiful to God than when he sees us in our weakness, trusting him. God has everything covered. Hallelujah. I tell you this finally, if you want to be very proficient in discerning the voice of God, you must come to this place of complete trust in the Lord, where you are at peace with him. That anything the Lord says is fine for you. You are not thinking yellow or black. Anything he says is fine for you. It's fine for you. If he says don't marry her, that's fine for me. Not arguing. Why? Why not? Joseph was not the firstborn, but he was the firstborn by inheritance. And if you are a Joseph here today, I want you to know that everything that you have been going through is for a reason. And when that reason fully crystallizes, the glory of God will be revealed.